Hey guys, welcome to WWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everyone.
And Jack McCarthy is actually seeing Guardians right now, so he's not going to join us. But we are doing a special roundtable podcast this Sunday. Actually, it's Thursday tonight. It's May the 4th. So
May the 4th be with you all.
And also with you. So he's our Catholic upbringing. Well, mine anyway. We'll be doing a roundtable. We'll have some special guests, and we'll be discussing the movie. By then, we'll all have seen it, and I'll release that a couple of days after this podcast. So, anywho, speaking of Guardians, I've seen it, Fedra.
And?
I'll just give a small review, just a little taste.
Yeah, please, because I'm seeing it Saturday, and like I'm scared of what you're gonna say.
Just enough to wet your beak.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there and be pissed, you know, and be like, "Ah, oh, Joe was right," or "Joe said this and this."
Yeah, so I'm not gonna lie, I was disappointed, which is not a shocker for me. I was kind of looking forward to it, but I don't know. There's something just not right with this movie. I watched the first two last night back to back, and I had a blast. I love the first one. I think it's my favorite Marvel movie. That and the first Avengers movie and Infinity War. They're all up there. Guardians 2 is pretty good, but it's not Guardians 1. Towards the end, it gets a little weird. But it's beautiful to look at, and it's still a lot of fun. It's a really good sequel. This one, it's rough. And the good thing is it's not woke. I would say there's one little woke thing that I'll talk about on the podcast if I remember. But overall, I would say it's not. I think that the problem with it is that James Gunn is either too busy dealing with the DCU, because now he's like the head of the DCU. So he's leaving Disney and Marvel to become, you know, Batman and Superman's boss. And so he might have a lot on his plate, or he just doesn't give a damn anymore. Because to me, it was kind of lazy writing. And he also may have sabotaged the franchise. It's like, well, what the hell? You know, I'm leaving. Let me screw up this franchise so badly that they'll never make another movie, you know, which it's not screwed up so badly, but it's just sad because when you look at the first two movies, I mean, he hit pretty much home runs with it. So I was expecting at least a triple. And I don't even know if he got on base. It's missing. It has the chemistry, but it's too long, too. It's over 2.5 hours long. And it's mostly Rocket's movie. And it's dark. It's dark as hell. And I'll just leave it at that. I was not a super fan of it. I think I would give it a 6 out of 10. And that's being generous. I might actually even go a little lower. So it's a disappointment. I mean, the actors are good. I don't have any problems with the actors. It's just the writing, the story. The story is just weird. It's just not the fun ride that we're used to, you know, because it's very dark, very depressing at times, and it's lacking fun.
Does it still have like the comedic points?
Yeah, I would say the only one that really has it is Drax, but even he doesn't have it as much. There's a lot of jokes that fall flat, which they normally never do, and it just seems a little forced. Well, you'll see. I don't want to ruin your expectations for it, but
you're saying it has to do with the writing.
I would say so. I think that they could have came up with a better story for the last movie in the trilogy. And to me, it just didn't do anything for me.
Do you think that they'll make another one after this?
It's possible. You know, they do leave it open. But again, that's getting into spoiler territory, so we'll discuss that on Sunday. Okay. But anyway, so that's my view of it. Hopefully, I don't know. I'm curious about yours. I'm curious about Jack's, because Jack is usually all over the place with his reviews. Speaking of Jack, I'd seen that movie Dungeons and Dragons. I forget what the subtitle was of it. And it was actually pretty good. It's it had really good writing. I thought the acting was very good. And I guess I'd have to say the direction was really good. It was very diverse, which, you know, I mean, I'm not, I don't know.
I think that would make sense, though, because it's a role-playing type of game. So that would make sense for things to be diverse.
Yeah, but it takes place, I would say, in the Middle Ages. So there's no people role-playing, you know, like it's actually taking place in that period. You would have to see it to understand it, you know, what I'm talking about. But it still was good, though. I mean, see, that's if they want to make, they want to push diversity and inclusiveness, that's the way to do it. You get good actors and a good story. Because I would watch it again. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. Although, you know, like I felt hit over the head at times with diversity. Michelle Rodriguez is in it, and I'm not a fan of hers at all. But she was good in this. Like, she played the warrior. You know, she carried a battle axe, and she was really badass, and she was beating the crap out of people. But I really liked her in this. And Chris Pine was in it, and you know, they were all good. Everybody that was in this movie was good. The villain was good. Everything was good. So I'll say that much. I also saw Star Wars Visions, which they released on Disney Plus. And this is season 2. Yeah, I was disappointed in that. And I think we were talking about this. I showed you guys the trailer. And the trailer to me seemed very heavy with female protagonists. And yes, indeed, it is. There's 9 episodes, and all 9 episodes have female protagonists. And I would think even most of the villains are female, too. And it's just too much. You know, like if you're going, because the first one was an anime. It was a Japanese, like they had 9 episodes, and it was done by all different companies in Japan, giving their spin on Star Wars, either creating new characters or using some of the old characters. So this, they decided to venture out to like go to Ireland, to go to India, I think, and like all these different locations, not only Japan. So the majority of them sucked. And like I said, it's a bunch of Mary Sues, and it just seems like this is the route that they're pushing Star Wars, that they want to push that female Jedi or female warrior or something like that, or a female Sith. And it's like, what about us?
can you elaborate on why it makes you feel like it's too much?
Because it's 9 episodes. You couldn't have, well, there was one male Jedi in this, but if there's 9 episodes and all the protagonists are female, that's just pushing it a little too much, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, if the goal was to show more female characters in Star Wars, then it would make sense to me, because if we look at the films, there really isn't. I mean, I can think of is Osaka and Princess Leia. That's the only like 2 female that I could think of like right away that stand Rey, out to me.
You know.
Well, that's recently. Yeah, there's Rey. So there's, I mean, in this like Fennec. Season. Are they showing any of like those? The
Bo-Katan, you know.
All new characters?
These are all new characters. Okay. No, but I'm saying, no, Marvel has strongly become female, like what they've done with She-Hulk, Hawkeye. I mean, you name it. The Marvels. I'm trying to think. Ant-Man and the Wasp. It just seems like they've gotten rid of a lot of male characters and replaced them with female characters.
So do you want the other extreme? Do you want it to be all men, or do you want more of a mix? What would satisfy Joe? I'm curious.
I would say make it like the comics, where it is more men than women, but the women are still powerful. But I think they're overcompensating. Like, they felt like there's not enough women in the MCU, and now they're double the men, because basically Captain America is gone, other than he's replaced by, you know, what's his name? Anthony Mackie, who is Falcon, and Iron Man is gone, and that series hasn't come out yet, but they're replacing him with like a 15-year-old black girl, and then Wakanda Forever, they replace them, replace Black Panther with a sister. Thor, you had Jane Foster. It just goes on and on. It's just blatantly over the head obvious that that's what they're doing, and they're doing that with Star Wars now, and it just kind of bothers me that, well, mostly because Kennedy is pushing it. Like, again, Bo-Katan became the Mandalorian this season, and they kind of brushed
Pedro Pascal,
Din Djarin to the side, which everybody didn't like. It's just the messaging that they're doing, I don't appreciate. And then they're doing another series called Acolyte, and that is predominantly female. I mean, I have nothing, you know, I love female characters. Like I said, I could list like a ton of them. Like, I love Wonder Woman. I love the Bride in Kill Bill. I love Ripley in the Alien movies, Sarah Connor. I mean, you can go on and on and on. But I think that Disney's pushing it way beyond, and Kathleen Kennedy specifically. And again, what they were going to do with Indiana Jones, they were planning on replacing him with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. We'll get to that later. But anyway, so that's my biggest... Plus, the stories suck. They're just not very good.
What would you rate it? Is it worth even me checking out?
I don't know. You might like it for the art. I would say probably a 3, just because...
Wow. So it's worse than Boba Fett and The Mandalorian?
Yeah, because it could be so good, and they always drop the ball with this, because I love anime, and Star Wars works so well with anime. And but they just push crap way too much, you know, like push specific agenda. Like, they had one episode was about slavery. And you know exactly what they're doing. It's just, it's horrible. Anyway, I didn't like it. I was looking forward to it, but it disappointed me. All right, so I'm sorry for jibbering. Let's get into the news, Fedra.
Could I tell you about a trailer I watched?
No, maybe it's one of the trailers I saw. Oh, yeah, okay. What trailer did you watch?
It says it came out 7 days ago, but I just watched it today. The new Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Oh, I didn't see that. So how was that?
I thought cinematically it was really good. I'm not really sure about the book itself, so I sent it to my sister because she read all the books. So far in the comments, it says that it looks very by the book. Some good actors in there already. I'm kind of sad because Viola Davis is playing a villain, and I really just, I like when she plays more of a protagonist, but here she's a villain, and she looks creepy too. Also, I don't know the actor's name, but he played Tristan in the Game of Thrones, and he's just fabulous. He was also in The Elf. He played the boss for the famous writer.
And the Elf? Elf?
Will Ferrell? The movie The Elf, yeah.
He played the...
They hire the writer to come in.
Oh, from Game of Thrones. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same actor. But he looks good in there. There's some new, younger actors. But visually, it looks gorgeous. It looks like it's going to be very interesting. So this, I guess, is taking place before when Hunger Games was first created. So
that's
it's going to
ask you.
Yeah, it looks like it's an origin story type of movie.
I never read the books. I didn't see the trailer, but that's what I was going to ask you. Jennifer Lawrence was in it.
She wasn't. I was very surprised by that because she did a phenomenal job. I was a huge fan of the films. So, but she would be, you know, I don't know how they would make sense of it unless maybe there's flashbacks or something, but this is before that. So
how many films were there?
There were three.
There were three of them. Mm-hmm. I saw the first two. I don't think I saw the third one. I really liked the first one. I thought the first one was pretty good. I guess the second one was good, but I don't know. I just wasn't interested in the third for some reason.
Yeah, I can't be biased. If you were like, hey, let's watch all three on an evening, I would do it. I'm just that kind of, I like the storyline a lot.
I probably would. Yeah, maybe I should check out the third one.
It's also like really why I've considered to learn archery, because I loved how she was an archer in the film.
Oh, did you learn archery?
No, it's like, it's kind of like on my bucket list to at least try it out. Because, yeah, it really got me thinking about it because of that film.
But, yes. What were you saying?
Oh, but if you check it out later, let me know what you think of the trailer.
I will check it out. Speaking of trailers, yeah, I was going to mention the trailers I had seen. And I think you saw most of these trailers. The Blue Beetle trailer.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I think that looks good.
That does look good. I will give you that. It looked entertaining. It looked light. I loved the family involvement. I mean, I love George Lopez, so the fact that he's in it, I actually would consider to see it because I'm a big fan of his stand-up for years. So those little nuggets made me think, like, hey, this could be something good.
Yeah, it looked like a Marvel movie. It looked like a fun movie, light movie. And DC, other than the Shazam movies, they don't do that. So it looked fun. The other one was Gran Turismo, which is based on the game. Did you ever play that? It's a racing game on PlayStation?
No.
It's about some guy that plays the game, and then eventually they have a Gran Turismo Academy. Like, if you're so good, you can go to Gran Turismo Academy, and then the winner ends up becomes a real racer and all that. I thought the trailer was pretty good. I'm a big Gran Turismo fan. I still play it. And looks good. I don't know if I'd see it in theaters, but I'll definitely watch it once it comes to streaming. Another one, Christopher Nolan, is his big movie this year is Oppenheimer. And that's about the atom bomb. And the trailer looked pretty good. My only complaint with it was Cillian Murphy, I think, plays Oppenheimer, which we haven't seen him in a while, have we?
No. It's been a while.
The last thing I remember him is he's a scarecrow, but at one point he was pretty big playing a psychotic, you know. Like,
wait, you meant, did you say Killian?
Is it Cillian Murphy?
No, it's Killian, yeah. Killian Murphy. Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of Killian because I love him in Peaky Blinders.
Talk
about sexy. That's a sexy character. He's a English gangster.
Really?
During the 20s, yeah, in England, and he comes from a gypsy family, and he's in gambling, and you see how the family builds up their business all the way up to 1940. It did start to get very agenda in the third season. There was a lot of like just too many narratives in there that I started getting disgusted. But the first two seasons are fabulous. And also Nick Cave, his music is in it. Nick Cave's Red Right Hand is the theme song of the Peaky Blinders. You could tell I'm a big fan. Jeez. Just keep going. I'm sorry.
You know who's a big fan of that? Is Charlie and Amanda.
No way, really?
Yeah,
they have taste because it's so cinematically beautiful. I mean, they do. I mean, the costumes. I mean, I can't even imagine the costume designer there. I mean, they had work cut out for them. And I love the whole family. Everybody's different. Polly is one of my favorites. I love Arthur.
What period does it take place in?
It's 1920, all the way from 1920 to 1940. Yeah.
I probably love that because I like
so they have period. Sprinkles of everything. Socialism, the police in England, and the changing of the guard, and then Nazis coming in toward the end. Then they, of course, they have to do the Spanish flu and all of that because of sickness. So, but the first two seasons really show a lot of the gangster methods that they did at the time. And I love Killian plays Thomas Shelby. I swear to you, I don't know who's better, you know? It's like, do I take Keanu Reeves out to lunch or Killian? Because
really? Oh, I would take Keanu Reeves.
Because Killian...
He's creepy looking.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of dig creepy a little bit. You know, he has those cold eyes, you know? That's really, you know, you could work with that. I'm just saying that this character, Thomas Shelby, I love this character because he's so calculated. You will see that he is in all of these really compromising situations. And every time he's cool as a cucumber and he's just calculating everything. And I love that writing in the show. So that is what I would recommend the most. There's a lot of violence, there is darkness in it, but I truly love the mannerisms. There's a gentleman on YouTube who is kind of like a person that analyzes body language, and he used parts of the show to show different mannerisms in body language with just the men, on how you can show, like, with body language, how the men is going to react. And it was very fascinating.
Yeah, I was looking up movies that he's been in. Well, I knew he was the Scarecrow in the Batman movies.
Yeah.
He was in Red Eye, which I never seen. I didn't see a lot of his movies. He was in Inception. So I guess he's in a lot of Christopher Nolan movies.
No, but Peaky Blinders, he skyrocketed. He's worth $20 million. I looked him up yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah,
I'm very impressed. That's a lot for an actor. That's great.
He was in Dunkirk. I guess Christopher Nolan really likes him. So now he's playing Oppenheimer. So it's I'm looking forward to that because I love Christopher Nolan movies. The only thing that disappointed me in the friggin' movie was the trailer. Was Matt Damon is in it, and he plays like someone in the military, either a general or whatever.
Oh, yeah. He's going to play the general. Yeah. He needs to be that way, though, because that guy was a jerk. They were both bickering about things in real life, if you look back at the history of that. So they need someone that's, you know.
Well, that's not my problem. My problem is I just don't like Matt Damon anymore. I just think that I'm just tired of seeing him. I don't think he's a good actor. He was good in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
His younger days, but him and Ben Affleck can go away forever as far as I'm concerned. Not let anything happen to
you.
Them.
We agree on Ben Affleck. He can go away for a while.
Yeah. Just, you know, I'm just not having fun with the movies that you guys are in. I just think those roles can go to better actors. And I'm just tired of them. But yeah. What was the other one that I saw? I'm trying to... I wrote down the trailers. Oh, the Flash trailer.
Oh, you saw Flash? Okay. I saw Dune. Oof, I'm tempted about that.
I was saying, doesn't that give a huge spoiler away in that trailer?
I mean, it does and it doesn't, because, like, I wonder how they're going to... Like how Jack and I said, you know, it sums up a lot in one film. So I'm interested in what part of the timeline are they going to review? Cause there's a lot to show from where they left off. So we'll see. I just think, again, it looks visually beautiful. You and my personal trainer, you guys were really impressed with the Flash, and I'm not. What do you like about it?
Michael Keaton. He's back as Batman.
Well, yeah, but what else? Like, I didn't think it was good. I thought the acting part looks terrible, at least from, you know, Ezra Miller.
No, I'm a huge, I hope they give Michael Keaton another movie, because just seeing him back in the Batman suit, he looks incredible, and he looks like he's matured to the point that he's a better Batman than what he was in the Tim Burton movies. And I'm just going to see it for him. I can give a crap about Ezra Miller and anyone else that's in that movie. I just want to see Michael Keaton. And maybe that's my bias, as I got rose-colored glasses and that's all I look for. It's like, I'll see Michael Keaton. I'm like, Michael Keaton, Michael Keaton. And then all of a sudden, you'll see Ezra Miller. And I'm like, come on, more Michael Keaton. Where is he? Where is he? There he is. Michael Keaton, Michael Keaton. You know.
Well, that makes sense. Because, I mean, I'm sure that when you go to Infinity, you were rooting for whichever Avenger, whichever, you know, person you liked. So that makes sense. I mean, I am a big Batman fan. It's just that when I was looking at the trailer, it was just so busy. Like, there's just all these effects and all this intensity going on, which is cool. Like, I thought Supergirl looked pretty decent. I was just like, okay, like, I could get down with that. But the acting, like, the very small moments in the trailer, I was like, oh god, the writing is gonna be terrible. This is it. Like, all I have to look forward to is Keaton. Like, that's it. Like,
I heard a lot of people seen it and they said it's really, really good.
Yeah, everybody said that. So I hope I'm proven wrong. I would love that. I don't want to be right.
I mean, for me, I'm not a fan of the Flash character, you know, regardless of who's playing him. I just think that he's the last person I want to see a movie about. And they should change the name of that movie. It should be Flashpoint. It shouldn't be The Flash, because, again, I just don't think he deserves his own movie. I'm really shocked that they gave him one. But I guess they're using that to kind of bury the Snyderverse and move on to James Gunn's
adaptions,
DCU verse. But that's the movie I'm probably looking forward to the most. I saw the Indy 5 trailer again, and I think that looks good. I think a lot of people want to see it fail. I don't. I hope it's really good, you know. And so far, everything I've seen in the trailer looks pretty good. Are you looking forward to seeing it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big indie fan, so I love adventure. I'm just a little skeptical because it just feels like everything's in it. So that's where I'm like, okay, it has to be bad because they have to literally add everything in it to keep my attention. But I could be wrong. I mean, I love Harrison Ford, and the fact that he's still going is very impressive for his age. So, yeah, I'm open to seeing it.
Yeah, I'm impressed with what I've seen in the trailer. And they've changed it, too, apparently from Overlord, which I kind of feel that they did. I think that once Iger got back and he looked at some of the movie, he says, this has got to change. Because even Harrison Ford confirmed that there are a lot of an old man jokes, like, because she plays his goddaughter, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And the whole point, apparently, of this movie was she was going to take over for Indiana Jones. Like, he was going to die at the end. She was going to take his hat. Like, they were going to be in the past.
Right.
The young Indiana Jones was going to die, which would make the old Indiana Jones never exist. And then she'd be stuck in the past, and then she would take on his whip and his cane and his whip and his hat. And she would take on the name of Indiana Jones, and she would do all the adventures that he did. And then she would have a series of her own too on Disney Plus. But, and that, again, that is Kathleen Kennedy pushing, you know, there's not enough women in Lucasfilm, where there's practically nothing but, you know, in it under her reign. And you can't do that to Indiana Jones. You know, you can't kill him off and then just have the audience accept the fact that he never really existed. You know, this is the real Indiana Jones now. So they changed that. And I know a little bit more of it, which I'm not going to reveal whether he lives or he dies. But they did get rid of the fact she was unlikable, because she would basically make fun of his age. She'd be the one saving him. And now they kind of turned it around, where there's no old man jokes and he mostly saves her, you know, when she's in predicaments, and she's respectful towards him. But that's another thing, too. It's like, nobody wants to see a movie where someone's disrespectful to a character that we've grown to love, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
And he's earned that respect.
Yeah. So hopefully it's a good movie. I hope anyway. What was it? One more trailer I think I had. Oh, The Marvels. Yeah, it's still, like, you never know though. It could be good. I mean, there's some good things in it, but I think the girl that plays Miss Marvel is awful. She's awful in the series, and she's going to be awful on the big screen too.
I don't know. I mean, I thought the trailer looked fun and lighthearted, so I'm up for that. But yeah, I mean, as we've seen in the other films, like, I just have to stay open-minded and hope for the best.
No, I mean, I try to stay open-minded with most of the films that I see, and going in with low expectations is the best way to see a movie. But lately I've been going at low expectations and they've gotten even lower when I'm watching them. I think I went in with high expectations for Guardians 3 and that didn't help me at all.
Is there anything, not to give it away, but is there anything occult that I'm going to see to your Guardians? Knowledge? Yeah.
There was in Star Wars Visions. Yeah, you would get a kick out of that one. I'm trying to think. Was there anything occult in this? There's a lot of dark stuff in there. I'll just say that. And
okay. Any sacrificing?
Because
that seems to be a theme, too.
No, I wouldn't say that there's sacrificing. It's mostly Rocket's movie. And
cool. Okay.
It goes behind his origin story. There's flashbacks. And he wasn't treated very nicely. Like, PETA would have a field day with this movie. And
okay.
Yeah. It's like, again, I don't want to say too much. I'll save it for the
I was
the
just curious. Table. Cool.
But yeah, I don't think there's any sacrifices or satanic stuff in there, but you never know, Fedra. You might spot something that I might have missed. Let's get into the news. So this was a big news story that kind of like caught some people for a loop and other people like, well, figures, of course. There was a rumor going around that Mila Kunis was being looked at Thing in the Fantastic Four. And she's come out and said that she's not playing the Thing, but she knows who's in the Fantastic Four. I don't know. That could be her also. Well, we'll get into it. What do you think about that?
I can't wait to hear what Jack thinks, because that's his favorite character.
And he didn't even say anything when I sent the news to you guys.
I think he was speechless, because, yeah, I mean, what could he say? I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense. I don't know what kind of woman would want to be pieces of rock.
I think he was bashing car windows when I sent him that.
I mean, yeah. To me, it's just not... It's not feminine. It's the most masculine. I mean, when you think of, you know, if you want to be literal and logical like I am thinking, like, that's rock, that's dense earth. I don't see women being that way, and I personally would not like women to be shown that way. Like, if you want to show a woman like in that way, like, make her a mountain or make her a volcano like in Moana, but not like batches of you know, gravel into this Avenger. Like, because in the other Avenger films, he was very brutish, you know? He was very primal. He was very,
well, he was
like,
in the Fantastic Four films.
Excuse me, yes, Fantastic Four, sorry. And, like, he wasn't... I don't want to say he was smart or polite, you know? Like, his mannerisms and all that. So it's like, why put any female in that position to play that role? That doesn't make sense to me.
In the comics, at one point, they did have a female Thing. And I forget exactly what it was. But Ben was around, too, I think, at the time. Sometimes he wasn't. But, you know, they were able to relate to each other because they had the same problem. But yeah, no, it's just, I think it's like someone at Marvel was like, there's four people in the Fantastic Four and there's only one girl. That's ridiculous. We have to change things up. It's, you know, let's just make the thing a female. And I really do believe that they probably did test her for the thing. And she might have said, who knows? Like, she might have said, you know, I really don't want people to hate me, you know, because, you know, comic book fans would not accept it. And right now they're not accepting it. They're freaking out. And I don't blame them. It's just Disney ruining crap. It's just make.
Yeah.
If you want to ruin the X-Men, go ahead. But
no.
No, I'm okay. I mean, I'm not.
I'm not okay. No, it's already like not as how I want it to be. Like, don't ruin it further. Hell no.
I just don't want them to ruin the Fantastic Four. I think that they can have a really good Fantastic Four, but again, they're so damn woke. It's like, you know, we need the characters to be more diverse. We can't have four white people. It's ridiculous. It's like, I mean, I'm always for let the character look exactly like the character in the comic books. You know, there, what's so wrong with that? Is that prejudice because you want like a character to look like Sue Storm or Reed Richards or whoever? You know, it's just that they're, and it's almost like, you know, a way for them to lose money. They always do this. It's like they will make this casting choice because they think it will bring the world together with the casting choice by making it more inclusive and diverse. And then it ends up, people aren't happy with it. They don't go see the movie. And
it's not genuine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that I think people are sensing. You know, when you are rigid as an artist, it's because you have a particular vision and it's coming, you know, out of you, you know, how these characters were written. And we've said this over and over again. It's not like the writers had a particular agenda or a particular thought process. It's that they created this character with a particular backstory and that's how it is. And I don't think, you know, yeah, sometimes, you know, Joe, you can come off a little snobbish with it, but I respect it because you just want it to be verbatim of the character, not only that you grew up with, but it's consistent in these comics. So, yeah, if it's consistent in these comics, it should be in the films. It doesn't make sense if it's not, because if you're used to reading a comic for X amount of issues and this character looks this way and then all of a sudden on the film it's completely different, you're not gonna, you know, bond to that character in the same way. So it's like, what's the point in making the film then?
I mean, I had a problem with Chris Evans as Captain America because he didn't have like very light blonde hair, because Captain America's hair is almost white in the comic books. It's blonde. You know, but it's Chris Evans' hair is like kind of like dirty blonde, like brownish blonde. He's blonde, you know, and it took me a while to get over that. But eventually he won me over. And again, I don't know. I hope it's going to be a disaster. I just know that it's not going to be, they're going to push again identity politics and, we're not going to get.
So you think this is actually like a go ahead? Like, this is not a prank. This is like actually happening.
No, I think that with the reaction, it's probably not going to happen now, but I think that, it's still going to be diverse. We were under the impression, it sounded like they were in final negotiations with, what's his name? Kylo Ren there.
Driver.
Adam Driver.
Yeah.
To play Mr. Fantastic. I haven't heard much more of that, but it does sound from a reputable source. I think he's going to play him, which again leaves the three other people. And that's another one that happened to hit the rumor mill, is Margot Robbie might play Sue Storm, or apparently she might have been offered the role.
Well, I know you're not a fan of her, but when they put the side-by-side photograph of the character, it looked pretty good to me.
Yeah, and it could be my bias. Like you said, I'm not a fan of her. I don't like her in most of the things she does. But yeah, she does look like her. I guess she'd be okay. I wouldn't mind if they had unknowns, you know, that look like the characters and let us like kind of like Christopher Reeve when he was cast as Superman. Like they were looking at Clint Eastwood, Robert Redford.
Oh God.
Paul Newman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad they didn't choose any of those. Wow.
Yeah, because Warner Brothers wanted like a big name to play Superman. And thank God they went with Christopher Reeve.
So you want like fresh meat, basically, that will fit the look.
Like even Hugh Jackman, no one really knew of him when he was cast as Wolverine. And now that's all we think of him as is Wolverine, you know? And the same thing, even like with Tom Holland, he did a few movies, but we kind of look at him as Spider-Man or Peter Parker. Yeah, you know, get a fresh face, but someone that looks like it, that can act, get a good director, and get a good story and a good villain, you know, then I'll be happy. But yeah, I mean, I guess if the Margot Robbie, the Sue Storm, that'd be okay. And Adam Driver, that's two. So now we got Johnny Storm and we have Ben Grimm. But I didn't see the Fantastic Four with Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm because, again, he looks nothing like the character. It was a race swap, and it was done intentionally because, again, they wanted to push inclusiveness. And the director at the time, I think it was Josh Trank or something, he was like, well, the first person I cast was Michael B. Jordan, and I wanted to see how the other actors acted amongst him. It's like, why? He's like the least important character in the Fantastic Four. It was just so obvious that that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to push inclusiveness and diversity in the Fantastic Four movie. And apparently, I never seen it, but I heard it was horrible. A lot of people didn't see it. Just make them look like the characters, you know? I know I say that like almost every week, but that's what I want. That's all I want, Jeannie. So do you know who Matthew Lawrence is? Joey Lawrence. Remember Joey Lawrence?
No, not offhand. Blossom.
Did you ever watch that TV show Blossom? It might have been before your time. It was either the 80s or the 90s.
I see a singer here, Matthew Healy.
No, Matthew Lawrence.
Oh, Matthew Lawrence. I saw Blossom, but no, it wasn't. Oh, yeah, this guy, yeah.
He's a brother. He had, like, long hair. All the girls were hot for him, and he used to wear his...
No, I know him because he was in Mrs. Doubtfire. And, And Boy Meets World, yeah. I watched that, actually, more than Blossom.
Oh, wait, Matthew Lawrence was in Mrs. Doubtfire, or was it Joey Lawrence? I guess it was Matthew Lawrence. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a great name, Matthew William Lawrence. Oh, so dignified. Yes.
Well, he looks just like his brother. His brother, Joey Lawrence, was big because of Blossom. You know, he used to have the long hair and used to wear a sweater around his pants, and the girls used to freak out over him. It's like whenever he would show up on a scene, everyone would scream like he was Chachi. <You know? laughs>
Okay. Yeah, I see Joey here.
Yeah. His brother was more grounded, Matthew, I'd say. And then there's a third brother. They all look the same. It's just like they're older and younger versions of themselves. But anyway, so they have a podcast together. And during the podcast, I guess they were talking about casting couches. And Matthew Lawrence revealed that he was once asked to pose naked for photos for a Marvel movie by an Academy Award winning director. You know, I think called him up to his hotel room, and the guy was in a robe, and he says, I want you to take your clothes off so I can take pictures of you because I want to see how you would look in the suit.
Okay. Hopefully that wasn't Weinstein.
Well, he's done worse. I think he was more women. But it was kind of like Weinstein, but it was just... And most people think it's Bryan Singer. Because Bryan Singer was... He's very creepy. He directed the X-Men movies, the first two anyway. And he directed Superman Returns. And he was gay, but he used to make it public that he liked young boys. And he used to have these parties, and he would invite like 15 year old boys. And there are pictures of them sitting on his lap. Very creepy, you know? And,
so that's pedophilia.
Yes.
Yes. And
this guy was underage too, apparently, Matthew Lawrence at the time. So probably he was going to play a young X-Men. And, you know, but anyway, the point is most people think it was Bryan Singer. And he's still working. Like, he directed... Well,
not to go too off, but I do want to say it for the listeners, because a lot of people don't say this, and they should. That is one issue that I had about the Me Too movement, is because it's really directed toward women in film and modeling, and even in, you know, the news, but there really hasn't been a lot of showcasing about the men in film. So thank you for bringing this up, because it's a very real and underground topic that isn't talked about. And I'm sure a lot of these actors have been either in these compromising positions where they had to make a decision of do they do this or do they not, and none of them talk about it. None of them.
No, Hollywood, it sounds like a very dark place. And I think it's always been that way. Like,
yeah.
Where there's been a casting couch, and, you know, if you want to play or if you want to be a star, you have to pay your dues to either a director or producer or whatever. And it's horrible, you know. And that Marilyn movie, I know you had seen that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, they explored that. It was mostly fiction, but I'm sure she had to go through something like that in real life. But the Coreys, Corey Feldman and Corey Haim, I don't know if you ever heard their story.
No, it hits me in my stomach. I can't. Every time I see him, I can't handle it. Like, I will just tear up watching him talk, because it's you see such sadness of not having his brother. It's very hard for me, because I can feel it, and that's very difficult. It's difficult for him to talk about it. And it's just a terrible experience for him and his brother to have been. And when you see the films, you would never know it, because, you know, they were so talented and so great on film. They're amazing. I mean, I love them in Lost Boys. I mean, it's such an amazing film, and it wouldn't be the same without them.
Yeah, no, it's sad. I never dig too deep into it, because it was so dark, but I just know that I remember the person, you know, who outed all this stuff was, did you ever watch Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah, I watched reruns, actually, because it was before my time.
Remember Nellie? She mm-hmm. was like the spoiled brat daughter of Mrs. Olsen. So she became a stand-up comedian, you know, after Little House on the Prairie. And she started something to protect child stars, but she let it be known that something was going on, you know, with the Coreys. And I felt like she brought it to the public eye before anybody else did, because before that it was kind of hidden, but she wanted it stopped, you know? And then you started to learn that they were known for going to these parties, and they were passed around to different directors and producers, you know, to do sexual favors or whatever. And they were underage. And the sad part is that their parents, you know, allowed them to participate, just because they wanted their sons to have a career. It's just, and money, like you, yeah, like you're saying, you know, mm-hmm. It's just very sad, you know, but what was I gonna, well, I guess, yeah, again, Bryan Singer, say he directed Bohemian Rhapsody, which wasn't too long ago, you know, mm-hmm. So he's still out there, directing movies and making money, and no one has done anything against him, which is a bit bizarre. Especially when you think like they went after Kevin Spacey, but I think Kevin Spacey was more of a predator. Well, so was he, you know, but he was an aggressive predator. He went, you know, went after guys that weren't interested in him, or he would, you know, touch them inappropriately, where Bryan Singer would just invite boys over to his house. Like, you know,
that's more, yeah, that's more grooming.
Yeah,
that's more of a grooming process in order to make it repetitive. Kevin Spacey was just like, you know, whether you like it or not, I'm just going to get my way with you. I'll just figure it out. It's still predatorial, but it's a different pattern. I know too much about that stuff. That's why I have to go into the spiritual side, because I mean, you can really lose your soul in that, like, and you could lose your humanity seeing all this darkness. So I try to balance it out, because, man, it can get really ugly when you just read these things. But I mean, that's why I applaud, you know, these charities, these agencies that are putting this stuff out there. I'm just saying that, not that I'm trying to be biased in favor of men, but it's just like most men that are sexually assaulted or raped, they don't let it out. And it just, they tolerate it and it continues. And it's just, you know, that's why I have a problem with the Me Too movement, that it should be under this umbrella of anyone. You know, I'm going to open up the umbrella for everyone, LGBTQ and trans, like anyone that is sexually assaulted in this way. You should utilize that, you know, movement, hashtag, whatever, to tell your story openly, because this needs to stop. And this is a huge pattern in the film and music industry.
Well, I mean, again, there are a lot of victims that told their story during that movement, and you definitely feel for them. But I think the big problem during that movement was that they were pushing the whole thing, believe all women.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily, you can't be that naive, like, because everyone's going to lie. You mm-hmm. hope that, you know, a victim doesn't lie, but there are going to be some people that'll take advantage of it to make money or to put themselves in the limelight. I'm not saying anyone who did, but it's very possible, and it could ruin people's lives, both genders, you know, regardless yes. of, you know, which way the accusations go. Anyway, let's leave the darkness. So it's been reported that Indiana Jones, the de-aged Indiana Jones, is going to have 25 minutes of screen time in the new Indiana Jones movie.
I am all for it.
I am too. I hope it's, like I said, I hope it's really good. I think
I know he's worked himself to be prepared to do that. I definitely, you know, I think it's also an ego trip for him, but I know that he also knows that he knows his fans, and his fans want to see him. So I do want to see that. I'm really happy to hear that.
Well, I think another actor is playing him. It's just, I could be wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is him. No, it's gotta be, like, it's like a stunt actor playing him, but they're doing like almost a deep fake on his face.
Where, oh, okay.
So he's going to have a younger body, but Indiana Jones classic face, like from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah, no, I mean, I hope it's just mind blowing. And if it's not, it's supposed to, is it coming out this month, or is it the following month? It's coming out soon. If it's bad, they'll delay it to work on it some more. But I hope it's just going to look amazing.
My expectation is low. My expectation is just be better than the last one. That's all I ask. So,
see, my expectations are a little high because the last one was so bad. It's like, how much worse could it get, you know?
Oh, you never know.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up because I'm curious of when it's coming out. So, Indy 5 release date.
I don't think
it's June 30th.
Okay, good, because the Little Mermaid is coming out at the end of May. So I don't think they would release Indy around then. So, all right, June 30th. So we got some time. We got almost 2 months. Let's see here. So, yeah, I sent this tweet that Linda Carter had tweeted about the future Superman that James Gunn is working on. She says, the next Superman has to be someone who has all the humanity that Superman has, but he's also an alien. It's got to be somebody who has the kindness and the compassion that Superman has and be somebody who you want to give a hug. So, thoughts?
You know, yes and no. Because the reason why I liked Christopher Reeves is that he played more of a stoic alien that was mimicking emotions, but he wasn't like overly emotion and overly affectionate either. You wanted to hug him because he showed these attributes of protecting the earth and doing these good deeds that's hard for humans to do. So I think, you know, it's a little bit of both. It's really showing that he really isn't from this earth. And you could see that by his way of thinking and analysis. But then you also see how he mimics by having a relationship with a human, you know, having an alter life, working at the daily, you know, saving a dog or a cat or an old lady or, you know, whatever needs to be done. That part, I think, is where, you know, people are affectionate to him, but I don't see him as like this lovey-dovey, you know, full of, you know, caringness. I disagree with just that part.
Yeah, I like some of the things that she has to say, but the thing that's always bothered me with Man of Steel is they focus too much on that he was an alien, and they didn't do that in the Christopher Reeve movies. To me, he was a superhero. He was an alien. They kind of mentioned it, and that was it. But I saw Superman as kind of like someone that was adopted, you know, where part of them feels like their original parents abandoned them, you know, by putting them up for adoption. And that no matter how much, you know, they can love their adopted parents, they're still not, he's not really part of, you know, like how they question whether or not like they're truly accepted. I kind of feel like that's how Superman is. I think he feels like he's accepted, and he's grateful for Ma and Pa Kent for taking him in and raising him as one of their own, and for loving them, loving him the way that they did. But I think that he also feels like Earth is his adopted planet, and he just doesn't fit in. And he's a little shy. So like when he is like Clark Kent at the Daily Planet, and he's very fumbly and nervous and everything, he wants to be accepted by society, but he knows that he's not one of them. And I want,
yeah, he wants a sense of normalcy, because he sees that through, you know, yeah, his parents, the school life and all of that, wanting to be quote unquote normal so that he can fit in. And then there's a part of them that has that higher awareness of like, well, I have this purpose to take care of this entire planet. I have powers that none of any species on this earth is capable of, but I do. You know, so it's kind of going back and forth with that, I think.
Yeah, no, it is. But I still feel like, again, that he wants to, I think he knows the people that love him who accept him as Clark Kent and not Superman. Where I think like most of the Clark Kents that we've seen, like after the the Christopher Reeve Supermans, everybody did accept him. It's because he wasn't the nerdy type of Clark Kent anymore. He was kind of the sexy Clark Kent with the cool glasses and the cool clothes and everything. Girls would want to date him and all that stuff. So he didn't have any of those problems that Clark Kent had, where girls would and men would avoid him like the plague. You know, it's like, I don't want to hang out with that guy. It's like, he's no chick magnet. Like, if we go out to a bar, it's like, he's going to ruin things for us. You know, he was always like tripping and falling, you know, to make him look like he, you know, it's like when I always look at it, he had such a complicated life because he had to pretend to be that way to protect his family. And he also wanted to be accepted, but he also knew he had so much power that, I mean, if he wanted to, he could rule the world. He could take over the world very easily. But that's what also makes Superman who he is that he never would do that because he's very humble and he loves the earth and he loves especially America. You know, he's proud to
America.
America.
Sorry.
The American way.
The American way, yeah.
America.
Yeah.
So that's my Superman. I was going to ask you, so it's May the 4th. What is your favorite Star Wars film and what is your least favorite Star Wars film? Sorry for putting you on the spot there, but I figured we got some time.
You've asked me this before. It's the same answer.
I know, but I don't remember.
It's Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi is your favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it because, you know, we've got everything in there. We got the Wookiees. We got Chewie. We got Slave Leia. You know, I really do love the way she kills Jabba. I really do. I'm sorry. That's probably my morbid side. I love the fight with Luke and Darth Vader, and I love the Wookiees. I love that they're in the forest.
The Ewoks.
Sorry, I keep saying Wookiees. Ewoks. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm short. You know, there's not that many cool short characters.
You're taller than an Ewok, though.
And, well, yeah. Thank you. But I mean, other than Yoda, I mean, Yoda and the Ewoks were the only ones that I can really relate to. You know, cute, cuddly, wise beyond our years, you know? Yeah. If I may say so. The worst, I mean, it's sadly most of the prequels. I really can't decide. I mean, I really feel like all three were highly weak, but I guess I would say the first prequel is just terrible. I mean, I love Liam Neeson. He was a great Qui-Gon Jinn, but the overall writing and the way that the story was led, it did not feel Star Wars to me. Very, very hard comparison. And also the boy actor, he was not.
Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah,
Jake Lloyd.
He was just not good for that character. Bless him for crying. But I mean, I know that you don't like Gregory that much. I really thought he played a great young Obi-Wan.
Gregory? Oh, you and McGregor.
Yeah, McGregor. Thanks. I got it half right. But yeah, I would say the first two prequels were just completely terrible.
You know, I hate the prequels. And out of all of them, Attack of the Clones, I think, is far worse than any of the three of them. Because at least the first one, the Phantom Menace had Darth Maul in it. He was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon Jinn, he needed a friggin' haircut. He looked like a hippie.
No, he looked great. He looked great.
I would have liked if he had shorter hair and a beard and a mustache. You know, he just looked like a hippie.
No, I love Darth Maul, but I'm just saying, like, overall the storyline... And the second one too, it just didn't hit, and it's just hard because I can't justify, like, I can't even justify, you know, Natalie Portman in it. Like, even though she did great, it's like, but that doesn't make the film. Like, it's like overall, I hate everything about it. Like, I don't like.
You were excited, you know, like when it first came out. Like, what did you see it in theaters? Or did you watch it on video? I don't know how old you were back then. It was 99, I think.
Telling my age. Okay. If it if it was 99, I was finishing eighth grade.
So you still could have seen it in theaters.
Yeah, I still could have possibly seen it in theaters, but still it didn't have the same feel. And remember, I am a snob because of my father. I mean,
So you saw the original trilogy before you saw the prequels.
Yes. By that time, maybe I was too young to have seen these films, but I already saw Aliens. I already saw Casablanca. I already saw Citizen Kane. I mean, I saw some really good, like, cinematic, serious films. So that's why I'm very snobby. It's like, if it's not good, you know, it's not good. Like, I watch a lot of stupid comedies, but then when I watch it, it's like, this is like a backdrop movie for me, nothing to focus, nothing to be interested in. But, you know, from watching foreign films and artsy films and indie films and this, it's like, I can't help but be, you know, snobby.
Well, you know, I am. I'm very snobby.
Yes. That's why sometimes we're on the same level, you know, at times, because it's like, no, like, we're not going to lower our standard. I love being on the show with you.
No, I remember seeing A New Hope, or it was called Star Wars back in the day, in the theaters when it first came out with my parents and my sister. And, you know, we had to wait in a long-ass line, like at least 2 hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours. We had to wait outside until the show was over. It sucked, you know, back then. But again, as a kid, I didn't care. But I wasn't overly impressed with it. I think what I was impressed with was kind of like the merchandising in a way, because everybody was talking about it. And it was in comic book form and Mad Magazine form and everything. It became like a part of our culture very quickly. Because it was a big movie. Because when you think about it, like every year back then, they'd have like maybe 2 to 3 good movies a year, you know, that people would talk about. And then everybody would forget it. So Star Wars was the big movie that year.
Let me take you back. Because yeah. I remember this. I remember for a short amount of time, and I was only able to find them at a memorabilia store in Chicago. It's called The Quake. I didn't buy them. I probably should have. I probably should go find them because I know they exist. But for a limited time only during the Return of the Jedi at Pizza Hut, when Pizza Hut was like, you go in and sit down and actually eat there, they were selling glass tumblers.
Oh, yeah, I had them.
Of all of the Star Wars. And it was just like, I remember, and I'm like, I want them. And my mom's like, no, we're not going. You want pizza we make, you know, at home, or we get real Italian pizza. That's not real pizza. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I mean, we can't even say the deep dish is pizza, but it is for Chicagoans, you know? So mm-hmm. I didn't want to argue, but, you know, at the time, no, we couldn't go there. And she's like, and I'm not going to go every single, you know, time to get the whole set, you know, and I'm like, I really wanted it. And I wanted, you know, I wanted the Ewok one, you know, they had all different ones. But you're right, you know, that memorabilia, like, was something that you wanted to have at home, you know, like, you just wanted it to be a part. Like, I knew a bunch of guy friends who had the ships, and, you know, they had, like, all the action figures, and it was so cool.
Well, I remember the thing I remember most from Star Wars were the droids. And I thought that they were lame. I wasn't a huge fan of them, you know. But they were different because it's like you never saw robots like that. But the movie, it's like I didn't like the whole thing when they were inside the Death Star and inside the trash compactor and all that. And then
you
it
didn't?
Was kind of, no. Well, I mean, again, I was a kid. It's like, I guess I was different because I know most people did. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool when they were in space and they were attacking the Death Star and all that, because that looked all real. And again, you'd never seen movies like that before. They never, other than 2001 was, I'd never, but I hadn't seen 2001 at that point. But it was really a nice spectacle, but I never got into it. It's like, I never collected any of their toys, never, none of the action figures, no Millennium Falcon, no AT-AT Walkers and all that.
Wow. Yeah, I have a miniature C-3PO and R2 on my little desk
here. Oh, well, that's nice. Probably, that's probably more than what I have. But I would say my favorite is Empire Strikes Back, and my least favorite is The Rise of Skywalker.
Right. You definitely shared that.
Because like I hated the prequels, but then along came The Rise of Skywalker, and that thing was a complete mess. And I kept like, I was like going, is this worse than Attack of the Clones? Because I thought Attack of the Clones was just a disaster. Because like, again, I said, like Phantom Menace had Darth Maul at least. And then The Revenge of the Sith had some good things in it. You know, had the Anakin versus Obi-Wan battle. And it got cool towards the end. The acting was a little better. And then the creation of Darth Vader.
Oh, the fight scene with Darth Maul is fantastic.
But Attack of the Clones had nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Pure
garbage.
Yeah. Weird, like, toad people. Like, with Jar Jar. Like, that made no sense, that whole scene. Like, really was useless.
Well, that was the pod race, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just, I hated Attack of the Clones. And you would think it couldn't get any worse after The Phantom Menace. And it did. It just was so damn bad. Oh man, the more I think about it, but I couldn't believe after watching Rise of Skywalker, I was like, I think I hate Rise of Skywalker more. I didn't think it was possible, but there's always a worse movie out there, you know, that's coming along. Anyway, I guess that's it. We're going to save a lot for you. Well, you're going to see Guardians of the Galaxy when?
Saturday.
So I hope you like it. It's always good to have a difference of opinion. I hope somebody likes it. I have no idea.
I hope so. I mean, these tickets ain't cheap. So I really, really hope so. I do love the app. I mean, obviously I'm not getting paid for it. So it's a genuine review. But I really love my AMC app. It's so awesome. I just pick where I want to sit.
Did they charge you?
No.
So you don't pay anything extra for
like
a service fee or anything? Well, maybe I'll.
No, I'm not on the VIP one. That's where you pay. But for the beginner one, no.
I think Fandango charges you like a service fee.
But like, I love it because you can set up your ticket, your time, your seating. I even order my snacks, so we get there.
Really?
Yeah, we get there 15 minutes earlier. I literally get what I want. If I want to add stuff to it, I just add it on, and then we just get to our seat. It's been amazing. It's like effortless. Now it's like I can't even imagine having without it now. Because I like to be there early, you know. I like to get to my seat, you know, make sure, you know, bathroom break, all of that. Because I like to watch all the trailers. I hate when you're like running late and you're like rushing it and you're like, I'm going to miss the trailers. Now I'm in like the mid area and then it's dark and then you got to look for your seat. Like, I hate that experience.
I hate assigned seating. I'm sorry. I can't stand it because you never know who you're going to sit next to now. Yeah. You can sit next to like some disgusting creep. I always end up sitting next to some dude that takes his frigging shoes and socks off.
Told me that. That's terrible.
Looks like they have hobbit feet. You know, they're disgusting. And I never sit next to a sexy girl. It's impossible. You know, it's always sit next to some guy that smells or he's either got too much cologne or he smells of BO. And it's just a mess. And like, again, if I didn't have assigned seats, I just move my ass out of my seat and go somewhere else. But then
I was really surprised because when I was booking the seats, they were all available. So no one I guess no one's going in the middle of the day, so that will be awesome if it's empty.
It's good to see it with a crowd, though. You know?
But we'll see. Yeah, of course. No, I know. I just thought it was strange. Like, nobody's reserved tickets for it.
I missed the midnight showings. Those were fun. Like, the one I specifically remember was The Dark Knight. That was pretty cool. But, like, when we see Avengers at midnight and the whole crowd, people were dressed up and, you know, like, the audience was going crazy. You don't really have that anymore. Now it's horrible. Like, so many people are on their phones and they just don't care. What I hate even more when people don't applaud during really cool scenes is when people laugh at unfunny scenes. It's almost like, are you getting paid by this company to laugh at an unfunny joke? It's almost like they want to be heard by the people that are there. I just drives me nuts. It's like going to watching like Bill Maher. I don't know if you ever watched Bill Maher. And I like the Bill Maher show.
Once in a while, yeah.
But his audience is just dreadful. There's always some idiot that'll go, woo! You know, it's like...
Yeah, that's definitely the American way.
It's like...
I was like, woohoo! Yeah!
It's like, you guys, you hear this stuff about this Hunter Biden laptop? And someone go, woo! You know, it's not that they're excited to hear about the topic. They just want to hear themselves. And say, that was me! That was me! You know?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, let's wrap this up. So, Fedra, where can everybody find you?
I'm on Instagram. You can be my friend on Facebook, and you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And if you can, mention Nerd Alert. Oh, I also wanted to say I'm on a podcast. I've been on it for a while, Rusted Junk, and I'm on there with Charlie, who's been on the show several times. He's always great in our show. And Amanda and this guy, Dom, too. They're all from England. I'm the lone American, and we discuss 80s movies. And this week, we're doing Fatal Attraction.
Oh, nice.
You know, I'd never seen that.
Never?
I watched it the other night.
Man, it's good.
It is good. You know what's sad is, like, you watch movies like that. They don't make movies like that anymore. I don't even know if that could be made today.
No, they don't want to show that kind of toxicity, especially of a woman, even though it's very real.
Well, the part, like, where he's strangling her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but also, yeah, well, like, what she's doing and everything, but... like they'll show like really gross, disgusting horror movies. I was watching that Renfield movie with Nicolas Cage's Dracula.
Renfield, yeah. How was it? It looks entertaining.
I watched some of it. No, it is kind of fun. There's a scene where you remember Bela Lugosi's Dracula. Mm. You know, and it was in black and white. So he's actually in that movie instead of Bela Lugosi, it's him. Which I thought was kind of funny. That was kind of cool. But it's so bloody, but it's like so over the top bloody that it's like, it's almost comical. Like, you know, he's like ripping out intestines and taking heads off and just decapitating so many people that it's just, I guess I'm just desensitized towards that kind of thing. It just, and I'm sure a lot of people are, they're just not fazed by it. Because it's so over the top, but probably like 20 years ago, I'd be ducking and covering, you know, for some of these things. I mean, I hope it's good, but so far it's interesting. What else was I going to say? Yeah, and if you check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy it, other WDWNT podcasts and might become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 9, Episode 16. So until next time, I'll say see you. But I will say, don't forget, we're going to do the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 roundtable this week, so there'll be two podcasts this week. Anyway, see ya.
Good night, everyone.